We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. No, I'm sorry, 21. And for the sake of our visitors, I want to just give a quick brief, and this is also for those who may be tuning in to our recordings for the first time. We're in a series of studies titled Simon Peter, an Apostle of Christ. We want to look at the path that Peter walked in learning about our Lord and Savior. We're going through this book of Matthew verse by verse, considering what it was that God taught Peter, so that when Peter gets to the point of writing his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, we got a little bit of an understanding when we go into those two books and study them. We'll work here in Matthew till the end of Matthew, then we'll go over to Acts and we'll see where Peter, where it talks about the disciples and Peter and what they've learned in the book of Acts. And then eventually, somewhere down the road, we're going to get to the letters that Peter wrote. And Lord willing, he'll have given us a much better understanding of what Peter was thinking when he wrote those letters. We continue with our studies on this path of Simon Peter, learning of God, from God, the things of God. We sing the song, "More About Jesus, Let Me Learn, More of His Holy Will Discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord. Hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine." Our Lord says we shall all be taught of God. A man stands before you and goes into the Word, just as Philip went to the eunuch and preached Christ to that eunuch. But it must be God who reaches into the heart and touches the heart of the people. I can't speak to your hearts. Only the Lord can give a heart to hear His Word. In our last study, we looked at the parable of the tenants in verses 33 through 46, and our focus was on the chief priests and the scribes and what they had done with God's Word. And because of their misuse of the oracles of God, the gospel was taken and given to another, the Gentiles, to bring forth fruit. Look at verse 43 of chapter 21. "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to the nation, to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." Now this morning I'd like to consider the subject matter in verses 42 through 44. So if you'd like to look at verse 42 with me. "And Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to the nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, He will grind him to powder." Now our Lord had just spoken about the parable where the master had planted a field, planted a vineyard, and he had left to a far country. And then he sent his servants back to collect the rewards of that field when it had been harvested. He had left it to those who worked it. The oracles of God were given to Israel. They had the mercy seat. They had the temple. They had all the things that God had given them to worship Him. All the things that pointed to Christ. And they took all of those things and they had interpreted it to their own description and started to make all the rituals that they had done. I don't think it's just the Jewish people that have done that, folks. All mankind does that unless the Lord does a work in the hearts of His people. We all manufacture some kind of a God that we want. Some kind of a God that fits our needs. Some kind of a God that allows us to make Him whatever we want Him to be. My God, until the age of 40, was the God of John. Do you remember what yours was before the Lord called you out of darkness? Spoken like a true biker there, Darrell. So don't think the Jews are the only one that the Lord is talking about here. The Christian churches of today's world have done the same thing. The Catholics have taken God's word and they have made their own ritualistic services out of it and interpreted it to their own destruction. Our Lord told these men in verse 43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof." And look down at verse 45. "And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this his parable, they perceived that he spake of them." So see, they knew what he was talking about. And so do you and I. So we spoke last week about the Lord's warning. We stick to God's word. We stick to Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, "I wanted to know nothing of you save Christ and Him crucified." Why? Because anything else of you is taking the word of God and making it your interpretation. My subject matter today is the same as it will be in a little while when we come together at 11 o'clock. It's the same thing it was last week. It's Christ and Him crucified. That's the rock that I stand on. I stand on my Lord. I know that the flesh is weak, and I know that I cannot have any confidence in the flesh that you see before you. Why? Because my Lord says so. He tells me I am. And I know I am because I know what's in my heart. It says there in verse 42, "Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Folks, our great Savior is speaking of Himself in those words. He's quoting from Psalms 118. Would you turn over, hold your place here in Matthew, and turn over to the 118th Psalm, and let's read that. Let's read that together. Psalms 118. Psalms 118. Looking at verse 22 and 23. Psalms 118, verse 22. "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Our great Savior is speaking of Himself. Our Lord is applying David's words to the chief priests and the Pharisees right there who were standing before Him. Those who were supposed to be the builders of God's house had rejected the foundation stone. They had rejected Christ and raised up a God of their own. Themselves. "Look what I do. I dress nicely and I go to church on Sundays. And I do all the rituals that we're supposed to do according to what we think the Word of God says. See, look at me. Look at what I do." That's what they had done. They had rejected the headstone of the corner. They had rejected Christ, whom God had made the headstone of the corner. Throughout the Scriptures, our Lord Jesus Christ is compared to a stone. He's called in Genesis 49:24 the stone of Israel. He's a foundation stone God has laid in Zion. That's what we read in Isaiah 28:16. He's the one stone laid before God's elect in conversion upon which we are built. That's in Zechariah 3:9. Christ is the stone that says in Daniel 2:45, "cut out of the mountain without hands." A stone that will fall upon the enemies in judgment. To the unbelieving, he's called a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And that's in Isaiah, it's also in Romans, and in 1 Peter. But to all who trust Him, the Lord Jesus is a living stone. And He's the chief cornerstone elect and precious. Precious. Oh, how we look to our Lord and Savior for our all in all. Is He your all in all? Is He the stone that you can stand on? Christ the Lord is the foundation on which we are built, and the foundation upon which we are built, all of which we build. All who build upon Him are safe and secure. All who build on anything else build upon sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And every house that is built upon sand will fall. Let me share an example of that with you. When I first began to drive trucks, I was driving to South Lake Tahoe every day. And I don't know if you've heard of this place or not. It's called the Tahoe Keys. Sonny and Cher had a home there. I had the privilege of delivering some live lobsters to their house once. I didn't get to see them, but the people of the home, the caretakers. It's a very nice area. It's a gated community. They have airplanes that land on the lake, come right up on the beach into their own little garages. It's kind of like we have over here at the airport over here in Cameron Park. They've got their own little garages there. Well, they have the same thing in the Tahoe Keys. What they did is they came in some years back and they built these million-dollar mansions with all the stuff they had, but they couldn't do it in a swamp, so they brought in sand. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but several years back, I think five, somewhere between the last 5 and 10 years, they came in and they said, all those mansions that they're building are sinking. They built them all on sand, the whole Tahoe Keys. And now they're sinking. What were they thinking? God told us in His Word. He's been telling people for years, if you build on sand, it will sink. And here these people built their million-dollar homes on sand, and they're sinking. They're sinking into Folsom Lake or Tahoe Lake. If you build upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ our Lord, you'll build off of a great foundation. A foundation that cannot be moved. If you build upon sand, it will fall. Yet there are multitudes, like the chief priests and the Pharisees mentioned here before us, who reject that foundation of God, who reject and they have laid and built upon another, rejecting His eternal deity. They reject His sin-atoning sacrifice. They reject His perfect righteousness. They reject His effectual intercession for His people and His omnipotent grace. They build upon a false foundation. They build upon what Scripture calls another Jesus. That's right. Scripture tells us there's another Jesus being preached out there. One who's weak, who we are gods over. Because if we can exercise our free will over the will of God, then that means that we're above Him, doesn't it? And that's what men do. That's what the religion of John Reeves was all about. I didn't need God. I had my own God. It was me. I didn't need to go to church. I had the Church of John. Football and drinking and partying and all that kind of stuff. There was another Jesus. These very Pharisees and chief priests that our Lord stood before rejected His work. They build upon their own works. They build upon their own religious ceremonies. Worse yet, they build their house of hope upon their own imaginary free will. A great will be the fall of it all. Folks, faith in Christ is compared to a building of a house of refuge. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Hold your place there in Matthew 21. Go over to Matthew chapter 7 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 4. Wait a minute. 24, I'm sorry, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Sooner or later, our house will be tested by earthly trials, spiritual trials, rains of trouble, floods of sorrow, and winds of adversity. Look at verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Folks, if our house is built upon Christ the rock, it will endure the trials. It will endure the trials of our lives. It'll stand the test of time. If your house is built on sand or anything else other than Christ, sooner or later the rains and the floods and the winds will bring it crumbling down around you. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God forever. Man's rejection of Christ can never disannul the purpose and work of God. The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Though men reject him, God has accepted him and made him the head of all things and the headstone of the corner. This stone cut out of the mountains without hands is the stone by which the Antichrist shall be destroyed. Again, hold your place and turn to the book of Daniel. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel is over in the Minor Prophets, I believe, just before, right there, just before Hosea. Daniel, chapter 2. Verse 34 and 35. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, and which smote the image upon his feet, that were the iron and the clay, and they brake them to pieces. This is talking about a false image God that was raised up, that the people of God, Israel, had raised up. And Daniel is telling them that the true God, the one who is the rock who was carved out without hands, shall smash this iron one to clay and clay and break them to pieces in verse 34. Now look at verse 35. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer, as the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became the great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is that rock. This is that very rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands. Zechariah describes our Savior's exaltation as the chief cornerstone, with exaltation being raised up in 4 verses 6 through 10. He, our Lord, is the chief cornerstone. He is higher than all the kings of the earth. He is infinitely superior to all the angels, and is the chief among 10,000s of his saints. He is exalted above all creatures, angels, and men. Like the cornerstone in the building, Christ knits and cements his building, his church, together. He adds to the church daily as those that are chosen. Chosen angels and chosen men. Chosen Jews and chosen Gentiles. Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. All are joined together in him. It is Christ, the chief cornerstone, who strengthens and supports the building and holds it together. God's word tells us this is the Lord's doing. That's what we read. It's the Lord's doing. It's not ours. And it is marvelous in our eyes, it says. It is marvelous in our eyes. In all the eyes of those who believe. For the exaltation of Christ, our mediator and redeemer, is marvelous and wonderful. It's a display of wisdom. It's a display of goodness, justice, grace, mercy, truth, power, and faithfulness. These are all the things of God. Christ is the head of the corner. Christ is the heir of all things. He's ruler over all things, and he's the disposer of all things. And in him we have all things. Don Fortner wrote this about verse 44. He said, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." Salvation, folks, is obtained by a fall. You must fall upon Christ, the stone, and be broken up and be broken upon him. If you do not fall upon him, this stone will fall upon you and grind you to powder. Falling upon him, sinners are broken. Our Lord did not say, "Be broken and fall." No, he said, "Fall and be broken." Faith is falling on him. It is a long and hard fall. We must fall from our loftiness. John had to fall from his God, John. I had to fall from the one that I trusted in so that I could put my trust in the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as my God was in the way, I wasn't going to look to him. Do you get that? You understand what that means? If we don't have a reason to look to him, we're not going to. So God brings that reason into our lives.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, how often we look to the Jonah for that very point. He had to fall. He had to die. He had to be swallowed by the fish so he could come out the other side looking to Christ, his Savior, and say, "Salvation is of the Lord." Well, John had to do the same thing.
Yes, I agree.
We must fall from our self-righteousness and fall upon Christ alone as our hope before God. We must fall upon Christ and trust his blood alone for our atonement. We must fall upon Christ and trust his righteousness alone for our acceptance with God. We must fall upon our Savior, trusting his grace alone to save us. We must fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him alone as our Savior. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1, if you would. And we'll finish with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross to these Jews, these Pharisees, these chief priests who were supposed to be building the church of God, but yet building their religion on sand rather than the rock. To them, it was foolishness. That's why they crucified the Lord. How dare you say you're God? To them that perish, it is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Oh. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught these things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Falling on this rock, sinners are broken. And to be broken, God's word gives this assurance. In Psalms 51, verse 17, we read this. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. God, thou wilt not, O God, thou wilt not despise. Fall on the Lord Jesus. Put all your cares before him. Amen.